إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته I give thanks to Almighty Allah who in His infinite mercy has made it possible to be here. I want to crave indulgence of the chairman of this occasion to kindly permit me to continue on the already established protocol in order to maximally utilize the 20 minutes given to me. But before I go into my presentation, I want to congratulate the organizer of this very important occasion, very important conference, for being able to gather people from different walks of life, and also for having my elder brother Ustaz Abu Bakr Siddiq Muhammad to make the first presentation. Although I came in after he has already started his presentation, but from what I listened, I can safely and conveniently say that even if I do not present my own paper, the objective of this conference has been achieved, inshallah. This is coupled with the address of the Minister of the Federal Capital Territory that was delivered to us by his able representative. We thank Allah for that, and then we also thank them. Let me also correct an impression, just for the sake of records. I am not a professor, but hopefully come 2017, inshallah, I will be. But at the moment, I am not. So it is always important to put our records straight. The title of my presentation is Fostering the Culture of National Patriotism through religious, ethical, and moral standards. This, I believe, is a Herculean task given to me, but I am happy that I have been pegged to just 20 minutes. And for that, the weaknesses of my paper as well as my presentation will not necessarily be disclosed. Let me start by reminding us, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that love of one's land or country is a natural thing. It's only natural for one to love his land and all his country. By their nature, humankind and many other creatures of Allah prefer to live in their birthplace or their base, place of residence, or place of struggling for livelihood. And this is very clear. It is simply because of the affinity that people develop over time for their land, as much as they love their family, relations, and associates. That is why it is even said in Arabic, that thalathu khisalin fi thalathati asnafin min al-hayawanat, that there are three characters in three animals. Al-iblu tahinu ila awtaniha wa in kana ahaduha biha ba'idan. A camel will always prefer its sleeping place where it is always been tied, where it is used to resting. Even if there is a very long distance between where it is now and that place where it is used to. وَطَيْرٌ إِلَّا وَكْرِهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَوْضِئُهُ مَجْدِيًا. And a bird will always prefer its nest, even if where it is currently living is or has plenty of what it needs in terms of water, in terms of whatever it feeds on, and where its nest is actually dry. والإنسان إلى وطنه وإن كان غيره أكثر نفعا. And a man will always prefer his homeland, his birthplace, his country, even if other than his birthplace is more beneficial to him. This is by our own nature. It is this kind of affinity that made our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be shocked when Waraka ibn Nawfal informed him about one of the challenges ahead of him when his dear and beloved wife Khadija bint Khuwaylid took him to Nawfal and to Waraka ibn Nawfal. He narrated his experience with Angel Jibril at the Hira cave. And after listening to him, Waraka ibn Nawfal said, "Laytani akunu hayyan iz yukhrijuka qawmuka." I wish I will be alive when your people will expel you from your homeland, Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shocked, and he said, "Our mukhrijiyah, are they really going to expel me out of Mecca? Why? Because of his love for his homeland, his birthplace, Mecca." No wonder Al-Imam al-Zahabi confirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love his homeland, his birthplace, Mecca. He mentioned in one of his books some of the things that are dear and beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, وَكَانَ يُهِبُّ عَائِشَةَ وَيُهِبُّ أَبَاهَا وَيُهِبُّ أُسَامَةَ وَيُهِبُّ سِطَيْجِ وَيُهِبُّ الْحَلْوَى وَالْأَسَلِ وَيُهِبُّ جَبَلَ أُهْدِنِ وَيُهِبُّ وَطَنَهِ وَطَنَهُ. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يُهِبُّ عَائِشَةَ. He used to love very much his beloved wife Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Aisha, the mother of the believers. Aisha, the most beloved woman to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he was asked, "Who is more beloved to you?" And he said, "Aisha." And he was asked, "Among men," he said, "her father, Abu Bakr." So he used to love Aisha, her father, Usama, and his two grandchildren, Al-Hassan and Al-Husayn. He loved also sweets and honey. He loved Mount Uhud. He also loved his homeland, Mecca, his birthplace. Only when it is no longer conducive to live in one's birthplace due to either persecution or higher objectives that one lives, as it happened to some of the prophets of Allah, like Ibrahim al-Lut, Musa, Yaqub and his family, and even our noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi musallatu wa salamu jami'a, and his companion radiyallahu anhu. The Quran told us about some of these persecutions that some of the prophets of Allah went through concerning Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and Lut. Allah told us, after narrating the incident of the attempt by the people of Ibrahim to burn him alive as a result of him breaking their idols, Allah saved him, and then he said, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we rescued him and Lut. We saved him and Lut. We took him away, as well as Lut, to a place that we blessed in order for him to be free of the persecution of his people. The same thing with Prophet Musa, alayhi salatu wa salam, when the cabinet of Fir'auna sat down and decided that they will arrest and kill him. He was informed by a good Samaritan, and as a result of that, he ran away. He left Misr. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْأَى قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُوكَ فَخْرُجْ إِنِّي لَكَ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبُ. So he left. Why? Because of persecution. Because of the plot to kill him. He left the town to another place, and he found himself in Madian. Also, Prophet Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam and his family left their own place to join his son Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? For a higher objective, and that is to be able to survive the economic hardship that was actually disturbing them at that time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba only left Mecca after they were persecuted. Allah told us about this in Surah Al-Tawbah, where he says, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. The Prophet ﷺ was persecuted. He was expelled from Mecca. Despite all the humiliations that the Sahaba received from the people of Mecca, the idolaters, including maiming and indiscriminate killing of innocent people simply because they say Allah is their Lord. But the Prophet ﷺ remained in Mecca until when it was no longer possible to continue to stay in Mecca. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted him to migrate, to leave Mecca, on account of persecution by the idolaters. So he left Mecca in the company of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Even though they left Mecca to Medina for a higher objective, and that is to save their iman, to go to Medina with their iman, they could not hide the love they have for their homeland. I mean the Prophet ﷺ himself and the Sahaba could not actually hold or hide their love for their homeland, although they were expelled out of it. For example, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi reported a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, concerning Makkah, مَا أَطَيَبَكِ مِنْ بَلَدِي وَمَا أَحَبَّكِ إِلَيَّ وَلَوْ لَا أَنَّ كَوْمِيَ أَخْرَجُونِ مِنْكِ مَا سَكَنْتُ غَيْرِكِ. How dear are you? How beautiful are you as a land? How dear and beloved are you to me? If not your people have caused me to leave, I wouldn't have settled in any place other than you. I wouldn't have left you. If not that your people had expelled me out of you, I wouldn't have left. Although he left, yet his love for his birthplace, Makkah, could not be hidden. It was very clear. The same thing with the Sahaba. For example, Bilal was once heard saying, Allahumma al'an Shadiba ibn Rabi'a, wa Utbata ibn Rabi'a, wa Umayyata ibn Khalaf, kama akhrajuna min ardina ila ardil waba. Oh Allah, cause Shadiba, Utba, and Umayya for expelling us from our land and making us to go and live where a lot of epidemics or diseases are common. Then when the Prophet ﷺ had Bilal saying that, the Prophet ﷺ did not discourage Bilal from doing that. He did not oppose him. Rather, he said, Allahumma habib ilayna al-madinata kahubbina makkata aw ashad. Oh Allah, make us to love Medina as much as we love Makkah or even more. That is to tell you that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba could not hide the love they have for their homeland despite the nasty experiences that actually went through. This is why in Islam, persecution of people from their country or making living in their homeland unconducive for them are considered legitimate reasons for self-defense. If you want to take people out of their country, or you want to make their country ungovernable for them, or you want to oppress them in their own homeland, or you want there is a threat, an aggression threat against them, then they have legitimate reason to fight back in defense of their homeland. That's why Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, قَالُوا وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا. Once people are expelled or living peacefully in their own country is made impossible for them, then they have just cause to rise up and defend their collective interests. But for those who do not expel people from their homeland, who do not plot against them, who live peacefully, who tolerate, who accommodate them, then they have no business fighting them, they have no business plotting against them, they have no business hating them, and they have no business seeking for means of oppressing them. Allah says in Surah Mumtahana, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah did not forbid you from befriending those who do not fight you because of your religion and who do not expel you out of your homeland, that you treat them with respect, you do justice to them, for Allah loves those who are just. It is when a people come together to love their homeland and also to pursue whatever is beneficial in order to develop their homeland, that the issue of patriotism comes in. So patriotism is simply the emotional attachment to a nation which individuals recognize as their homeland. If individuals, as we are seated here, Nigerians, all of us, come together to emotionally become attached to our dear nation, Nigeria, our father and motherland, Nigeria, and recognize Nigeria as a nation that requires us as much as we require it, and that we are to come together, join hands together, to promote its interests, to create positive image of it, or project, positively project its image, and to advance its cause, to support government in the right direction, and also to bring benefit as much as we can, then we will be called patriotic. And as Muslims, we should know that loving one's country or homeland is not only encouraged, but also necessary, as we have seen that the Prophet ﷺ used to do that. Patriotism involves love of one's country, loyalty and devotion to it, desire to grow and prosper collectively or as a community. It arises when people come together due to love of their country, regardless of their differences, to form a unity in order to defend their country from internal or external aggression, positively project its image, and work together to develop it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to openly declare his love for Mecca, his birthplace, as we have indicated earlier. He used to say, "Ma atyabaki min baladi wa ma ahabbaki ilayya walau la anna qawmi akhrajuni minki ma sakantu ghayrak." After changing his base to Medina, the Prophet used to make dua for Allah to make him love Medina, his new land, his new place of settlement, as much as he used to love Mecca. The Prophet used to say, "Allahumma habib ilayna al-Madinata ka hubbina Makkata aw ashad." He did not stop at that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to practically demonstrate his love for Mecca, his new land, his land of migration, his place of resettlement. As reported by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he is returning to Medina from an expedition or a journey, once he sighed from far the mountains or the pillars of Medina, the Prophet ﷺ will hasten his camel. He will hasten it, he will make it to move faster. According to Anas, harrakaha min hubbiha, the Prophet ﷺ will make it work faster, move faster, because of the love he has for Medina, his new place. He wants to be back home because there is no better place like home. It is required of a Muslim to always see the need for him to join hands in order to foster the culture of patriotism. And not only to foster the culture of patriotism, but also inculcate them into the younger generation, so that people will understand that they have no better place than their own country. Wherever they go, their country is their country, and that they cannot change their identity. Of course, they may acquire citizenship in the US, in the UK, or anywhere in the world, but history will have it that they are originally from Nigeria. And that because they are from Nigeria, they are Nigerians. And because they are Nigerians, Nigeria as a country has some rights over them. And what are these rights? One of these rights is for every Muslim to make dua for the land, his homeland, his country, or place of residence. And also make dua for its leaders. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to pray for Medina, his new place of settlement, as much as he used to pray for Mecca. With regards to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma ja'al bil madinati bi'ifai ma ja'alta bi makkata min al baraka. Oh Allah, bless Medina twice the blessing you have put in Mecca. Why? Because Medina has now become his new place. So it is expected of every Muslim to pray for his country. Here, Nigeria, it is expected of us to pray and to seek Allah's support for the government, for the leaders, and also to pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us way out of our economic hardship, our political problems, and our social and moral decadence. The Prophet also made a prayer for Medina by saying, Allahumma barik lana fi tamrina wa barik lana fi madinatina wa barik lana fi sa'ina wa barik lana fi muddina. Allahumma inna Ibrahima abduka wa khaliluka wa nabiyuka wa inni abduka wa nabiyuka wa innahu da'aka li makkata wa ana ad'uka lil madina bimithli ma da'a li makkata wa mithlihi ma'a. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this dua saying, oh Allah, bless our dead, because as you know, in Medina there are plenty of dead trees, there are farmers. So Allah, bless our dead. Oh Allah, bless our city, Medina. Oh Allah, bless our major, what we used to major, grain, death, and so on. Oh Allah, Ibrahim, your servant and your prophet. Ibrahim was your servant and prophet. I am also your servant and your prophet. Ibrahim had actually prayed for Mecca. Oh Allah, I am also praying for Medina with the same thing Ibrahim prayed for Mecca, plus another thing similar to it. Meaning, the Prophet was praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to double whatever blessing he has put in Mecca, in Medina. Why? Because Medina had actually become his new place of settlement. It is always necessary for Muslims to remember their leaders in prayer. Because one of the Salaf, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, was reported to have said, لو أن لي دعوة مستجابة ما سيرتها إلا في الإيمان. If I know of a dua that I will make and will be accepted directly by Allah, I wouldn't have done it for anybody except the leader. Now the question is, where do the Muslims learn the attitudes of showering abuses on the leaders? When actually this Tabi'i was reported to have said, if I know of a prayer that I will make and will be accepted directly by Allah, I would have done it for the leader. And he explained the reason. He said, because if I pray for myself, it will only stop at me. But if I pray for the leader, the benefit will have multiplier effect. It will affect the entire citizens. The second right as a patriotic Muslim that Nigeria has over I and you is to strive to contribute to its development, to encourage people to goodness and guidance, and prevent people from evil according to our ability and circumstances. Because Allah says in the Quran, as we know, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. That you are the best ummah, community ever evolved for the benefit of mankind. It means, as the best community ever evolved for the benefit of mankind, we command what is good and forbid what is evil and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means that as Muslims, we are expected to strive to contribute to its development of our dear nation Nigeria, and to encourage people to goodness and guidance, and to prevent them from evil according to our ability and according to the circumstance we find ourselves. Right number three is for all of us as good citizens of Nigeria, as patriotic Muslims, to be source of benefit to all Nigerians, and even those who are not Nigerians but are residents in Nigeria, regardless of religion, regardless of tribe, and regardless of gender. This is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us, we Muslims, to be source of benefit to all, regardless of religion, gender, and tribe. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, إِنَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَفَاتِيحَ لِلْخَيْرِ مَغَالِيكَ لِلْشَرِ وَإِنَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَفَاتِيحَ لِلْشَرِ مَغَالِيكَ لِلْخَيْرِ فَطُوبَى لِمَنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مَفَاتِيحَ الْخَيْرِ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ وَوَيْلٌ لِمَنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مَفَاتِيحَ الشَّرِّ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. That among people, there are those who are key to goodness and barrier to evil. And there are among men or among people who are key to evil and barrier to good. Successful is he who Allah has placed the key to goodness in his hand. Unsuccessful is he who Allah has placed the key to evil in his hand. So it means we as Muslims are supposed to be key to goodness, so we will be successful, and to be barrier against evil, so we will be successful. Also in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'minu ya'alaku wa yu'laku, wa la khayra fi man la ya'alaku wa la yu'laku, wa khayru nasi anfa'uhum. A true believer is the one who believes in togetherness, bringing people together for common good. He draws people closer, and he also draws closer to them. He continues to say that, but there is no good in a believer who will not draw himself closer to others and will not draw others closer to himself. And the best of mankind is he who brings benefit most to mankind. It means the best of mankind is the one who brings benefit most to mankind. So if khayrun nasi anfa'uhum linnasi is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it follows that as Muslims and as patriotic Muslims, we are expected to be source of benefit to all, regardless of religion, tribe, or gender. Quickly, number four, upholding true values that will lead to good ambassadorship. As Muslims, we are supposed to uphold true values that will lead to good ambassadorship, so that wherever we find ourselves, people will see us as good Muslims, as practicing Muslims, as Muslims that will be referred to. We should be reference point to others. Because the Prophet was sent in order to fulfill good conduct. And we have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take the Prophet as our role model. So if the Prophet is our role model, لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, he's supposed to be our role model. We should exemplify and copy him. And then the Prophet was sent to complete good conduct. إِنَّمَا بُئِثُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخَلَاكِ. If this is what the Prophet was sent to do, then it means as Muslims, as good citizens of our country, as good patriotic of our country, we are supposed to uphold true values that will lead to good ambassadorship. Five. Is my time up? Can you give me 2 more minutes to round up? Abiding by the laws of the land and shunning all forms of corruption is one of the rights of the land upon us. We shall abide by its laws and shun all forms of corruption, except, of course, those laws that are contrary to the teachings of our dear religion. In that case, we will not obey. But anything that does not contradict, or anything that is aimed at maximizing public benefit, we are duty-bound as Muslims to follow it, more than any other person. For example, traffic rules. Traffic rules are aimed at ensuring public benefit, so that there will be accident-free roads, so that there will be no congestion, so that there will be no inconveniences. Muslims are more in need of observing those rules and not to violate those rules, because they form part of what is called al-maslahatul amma. They are part of public welfare, things that will ensure maximum benefits to the public. Or where, for example, due to insecurity, curfew is placed, Muslims should be seen as the most respectful people in terms of obeying those simple rules, because they are there in order to ensure security and also to ensure maximum benefits to the public. Any law that is not contrary to the teachings of Islam, then as good citizens, we are supposed to abide by them. And that we are also supposed to shun all forms of corruption. Because Allah says in the Quran, فَهَلْ أَسَيْتُمْ إِنْ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَنْ تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُكَفِّيُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Do you wish that you turn away from common good so that you spread corruption? By the time you violate the laws of the land, which do not contradict established principles of Islam, then what you are doing is spreading corruption. Number six, which will be the last point I will raise, promotion of peace in the society as one of the rights of the nation upon us. Promotion of peace in the society, tolerance for one another, and peaceful coexistence with adherence of other faiths based on principles of equity and justice. This is because security is the business of all. But then for Muslims, we know that peace and security have been actually attached a lot of importance in our dear religion, al-Islam. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say that whoever wakes up in the morning secure in what he possesses, in terms of his property and family, and free from ailments, and has what to eat throughout the day, it is like the whole world has been given to him. مَنْ أَصْبَحَ مِنْكُمْ آمِنًا فِي سِرْدِهِ مُعَافَى فِي جَسَدِهِ إِنَّ وُقُوفِ يَوْمِهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا هِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا. The Prophet ﷺ used to pray on daily basis. He used to also pray at the end, at the beginning of every month, for security and for safety. The Prophet ﷺ has made it very clear to us that peaceful coexistence cannot be compromised as far as Islamic faith is concerned. And therefore, a Muslim is supposed to promote peaceful coexistence, to promote peace and security, and to promote tolerance in the society. There are a number of verses in the Quran and a number of ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that talk about that concerning relationship with Muslims and even relationship between Muslims and non-Muslims. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, my time is already off. But then, as we shall see in the paper which I'm going to make available to the organizers, patriotism has its own limits. It is not absolute. It has its own limits. There are things that people used to think that is part of patriotism, but according to the teachings of Islam, it is not part of good patriotism. For example, Asadiyya, tribalism, or nationalism, in the sense you look down upon others because they don't belong to the same nation with you, or you have no, you don't care, you care less about what is happening to other Muslims elsewhere because they are not sharing the same land with you, this actually is not patriotism. Or where you blindly support your country at all costs, with no consideration for whatsoever of right and wrong, because it is your country. That is not good patriotism in Islam. Or where you base your feelings of loyalty and disavowal on patriotism, whereby you love and hate on the basis of patriotism instead of basing it on the teachings of Islam and on the basis of piety, that one is also not good patriotism. Or where people, because in the name of patriotism, decide not to speak against injustice, even though it has been meted against innocent people, and you keep quiet, you don't say anything in any way, even though you can do it through the through propaganda, then that also is not good patriotism. Or where you neglect the interests of other Muslims of other nationality and consider non-Muslim fellow countrymen as closer to you than Muslims of other countries, not on ground of coming together to build the nation, but on ground of loving and hating as part of the fundamentals of Iman, then that also is not good patriotism. So inshallah, in the paper, we will see some of these practices or some of these things that people erroneously consider them to be part of patriotism, when actually they are not part of patriotism. But the message is simple, that as Muslims, we are supposed to be patriotic Muslims, and that we are supposed to hold our dear nation in high esteem, and that as good Muslims, we are supposed to ensure that we accord our dear nation its responsibilities, I mean its right upon us, and that we should do whatever is humanly possible to promote the interests of our country, to project positive image of the country, and also to develop it politically, socially, morally, economically, and so on. That way, if we do, then we are good Muslims who are also patriotic Nigerians. With this I say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to be with us. May He subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge and understanding. May He bless our knowledge and make our knowledge to be a blessing for us, a proof for us, and not proof against us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us, we Nigerians, in goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the wherewithal to be able to live above unnecessary sentiment in order to promote peace, peaceful coexistence, tolerance, and accommodation of one another in our dear nation, so we can all together build a good nation that will become a formidable force to be reckoned with throughout the world. With this I say, وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر.